Well, let's pray for the message and we'll get right into the word. Dear Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we thank you so much for the power of your word. And we just pray this morning that as we look into your word, that you would just quicken our hearts and enable us to see the wonderful things from your word. I pray, Father, that you would change us, that you would transform us, that we would see you differently, and that we would see life differently as a result of being in this place today. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Help us to understand wisdom more clearly, and I pray that we would become people of wisdom as a result of looking into your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the next couple of Sundays, I want to speak on the subject of wisdom. And this morning, the title of the message is Wisdom, the Prize God Loves to Give His Children. Now, I'm going to tell you a story in just a moment, but before I tell you, I want to make sure you know that I got permission from this couple to tell you the story, okay? So we can just relax about this. I got permission to tell the story. Well, this week I did some premarital counseling, but it was a little bit different premarital counseling because this couple is in their 80s. We sat across the table from one another and we were talking about how God was working in their lives and they were telling me their story. Both of them are friends of mine who attend church here and I love them both dearly. But not long ago, both of them lost their spouses. And when that happened, they were adamant that they would never, ever get remarried. Well, after his wife passed away, he was headed to Florida, and she was unable to actually attend that funeral, and so she knew that he was headed to Florida, and so she walked down the aisle to tell him that, listen, I'm so sorry about what happened to your wife. I'm praying for you, and just please know that. And she just felt compelled to tell him that. Well, at that moment, in that exchange right here in this building, he said something happened in his heart. It was like, boom, there was this emotion. There was this connection that just blindsided him. He couldn't believe that this was actually happening. Well, he began writing her from Florida. And at first, she was giving him every reason in the book why this is just not going to work. This is an impossible relationship to pursue. He told me that he was getting more and more discouraged. He said he got to the point that whenever he saw a letter from her, he would sit down and just stare at the letter and ask himself the question, do I really want to go through the pain of all of these objections about why this relationship is not going to work? Well, she began through the course of weeks feeling her heart softening before him. And she made this statement to me that I thought was a profound statement. This is exactly what she said. She said, Keith, never in my life have I ever cried out to God like that for wisdom. But the more and more I asked God for wisdom, the clearer and clearer God's will became for me. He wanted us together. But listen to that statement again. I cried out to God and asked for wisdom. See, the Word of God tells us that asking God for wisdom is one of the most important prayers we can ever pray. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, and let's look together at verse 16. Proverbs 16:16. Oh, by the way, somebody told me recently that, Keith, we love to hear your stories, but sometimes you don't tell us the end of the story. I'm going to be marrying them very soon. God is at work, and they feel such peace in what God is doing. Well, let's look together at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. Solomon is writing, and he says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver." Now, wait a minute. Solomon, are you sure? Are you sure that wisdom is more important than anything that you can acquire materially? Solomon, are you positive that you would rather have wisdom than all the gold in the world? That you would rather have understanding from God than even silver? Well, the answer to that question is unequivocally yes. And he stresses this truth throughout the entire book of Proverbs. For instance, if you'll flip back to Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. In Proverbs 3, 13 through 15, he writes, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with her." Now, as we allow those words from the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to enter into our hearts, let's think about what God just said to you. That there is nothing that you could possibly desire that could compare with what wisdom will mean in your life. So just for a moment, I want you to just dream with me, and I want you to think together with me. Just if someone were to ask you the question today, "What do you want?" And they were to say, "I can make it happen." What is it that you want? Whatever you say, I will do it. My guess is that 9 out of 10 of us would probably not say, "Hey, give me wisdom." We would think about this amazing car, or this amazing house, or this amazing relationship. But Solomon says that if you begin to understand what wisdom will do in your life, you will reach the point of comprehending that there is nothing you can desire that could possibly compare with what wisdom will do in your life. Let's flip over to chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. "For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." So are you beginning to understand what Solomon is saying here? He's saying it is impossible for you to desire anything more important than wisdom. And so if wisdom is more important than money, more important than power, more important than prestige, more important than health, or anything else you want, we have to ask the question, what is this thing? What is this thing that in Solomon's heart is more important than money or power or prestige or health or anything else you can want? Well, in our main text in Proverbs 16:16, he writes, "How much better to get wisdom than gold." Wisdom is from the Hebrew word chokmah. Chokmah is the capacity to understand, and so to have skill in living in the presence of God and others. And so if someone were to ask you the question, "What is wisdom?" you could almost just narrow it down to its skill in living. As you trace this word chokmah throughout the Old Testament, you see that it is used for people with unusual skills. For instance, it is used of a potter who could create beautiful tableware. And so he was said to have chokmah or wisdom. It was used of a composer who was able to take notes and put them together and to bring something beautiful together. He was said to have chokmah, or wisdom. In building the tabernacle, God gave wisdom to the craftsmen. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 35, the Bible says this: "He has filled them with chokmah, skill, to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers." And so I want you to see that this Hebrew word is used of someone who has skill. You look at this person that can put this beautiful pottery together or this magnificent arrangement of music together and you say, man, that person has skill. You look at the tabernacle and you see the majestic cloths that were used in the tabernacle and you would say, the weavers and designers have skill. And then all of a sudden you have Solomon coming along under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit saying to us, just like the person who has skill in putting together pottery or putting together music or building this grand tabernacle, God wants to give you skill in living your life. It is not only that God wants to give you a skill in a particular craft. It is that God wants to fill your heart with such skill that you have the ability every moment of every day to live life skillfully. So that you ultimately are producing, through the power of the Holy Spirit operative in your life, a thing of beauty. So the effect of wisdom in your life is that those people that you touch, the words that you speak, the people you interact with, the things you do, your reactions, your responses, it becomes wise. Can you imagine the difference it would make if we would have wisdom? When I look at the book of Proverbs, I realize that wisdom may be defined as the ability to live life skillfully from God's point of view. See, it's one thing to live life skillfully from others' point of view, but can you imagine the power of living life skillfully the way God wants you to and in the way He defines it? But that's what God wants for us. He wants to give us the ability to live skillfully under His all-seeing eye so that the things we think, the things we say, the things we feel, the interactions we have, everything about us will be lived skillfully through the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone has said, wisdom is seeing and responding to life's situations from God's frame of reference. Boy, do we need that. We desperately need that. The mother who is trying to juggle a career while raising her children desperately needs wisdom. She needs the ability to see the situation through God's eyes. The businessman who is struggling to keep afloat and to make it in this brutal financial world needs God's wisdom. The dad who has this demanding job and he wants to excel at work and yet he has a wife that he wants to love. He has children he wants to mentor. He needs wisdom desperately. The teenager who is just trying to figure out what is life all about and what does God want for my life and why is it so hard just trying to make it and get along in this tough, tough world. The teenager needs wisdom. The college student who is trying to discern, okay, how do I spend the rest of my life? And, you know, how do I spend my life in such a way that it's going to make a difference, And it's going to count for something so that at the end of my life, I can say I lived my life well. That college student needs wisdom. The Christian who wants to share his faith in Jesus with his neighbors, with his relatives, with his friends, needs wisdom to be able to see the opportunities. See, there is no greater gift that God could possibly give us when we are at a crossroad in our life, when there is this fork in the road, when we have to make a critical decision, and our lives could go one way or the other. What we desperately need is wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, Solomon writes, "Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." In Proverbs chapter 4, it is portraying a father who begins mentoring or counseling his son or daughter. And in this mentoring, the father says to the son or daughter that, "Look, I'm telling you, from my personal experience, from everything I've observed, above all else, you need to get wisdom. Dad, when is the last time you've said that to your son or daughter? When is the last time you have said to your daughter, as you sat across the dinner table at night, 'I know you have all of these dreams and aspirations and goals and these things that you want to accomplish, but I'm telling you, the thing that you should ask for is wisdom from God.'" To be able to see life through His eyes, to be able to understand through His perspective. Because if you see life through His eyes and understand from His point of view, then you're going to live life well no matter what you choose. And wherever you are, you're going to excel because you are viewing life through God's eyes. I remember when MasterCard began its ad campaign with the word priceless. I think that one of my favorite commercials about priceless was this particular ad of a young family at a baseball game. And it indicated the price of the tickets, the price of the hot dogs, and the price of that foam number one sign. Do you remember that? The foam number one sign. Then they asked, "And the price of your kid's first major league game? Priceless." Well, that is exactly what Solomon is saying. He is saying that wisdom is priceless. You cannot put a number on this. This is something that is beyond calculation. Wisdom is a wonderful thing, and we desperately, desperately need it. So the question this morning that I would like to try to ask and answer is this: how is wisdom obtained? If it is this critical, if it literally is the thing from God, the quality from God that will make all of the difference in our lives, then how do we get it? How do we receive it? How do we obtain it? I only want to accomplish one thing today. If you will leave this morning with this one thought in your heart, then I believe the Holy Spirit will be able to churn these truths in your mind over the next few days and begin to have us pointing in the right direction. This is what I'm going to call wisdom principle number one. God loves, I want to say it again, God loves giving His sons and daughters the prized possession of wisdom. If we could just begin to see that that is in His heart, that He wants you to have it, that He really wants to give this to you, Have you ever had a present or a gift that you knew that, boy, that once you gave this gift to that, maybe that son or daughter or your wife or your husband or mother or father or grandfather or grandmother, and you knew that it was going to mean so much to them, and you couldn't even hardly wait for the moment that you gave it to them. I want you to see through the Word of God this morning that that is what God feels about giving you wisdom. He can't wait. He cannot wait to give you wisdom. Throughout the book of Proverbs, the way God shows us His heart in giving us wisdom is personifying wisdom as a woman. And this woman is in the streets. And she is literally inviting anyone, come, everyone come. I have something that is priceless. If you'll simply just leave the chaos and the noise and the chatter of life, I'm inviting you to come and sit at my table and learn from me because I want to give you wisdom. It's personified throughout all of the book of Proverbs. For instance, Proverbs 8, 1 through 4 says this, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, 'To you, O men, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind.'" Did you hear that? Wisdom is crying out to you. Wisdom wants you to have this to all mankind. So there is literally not one person in this room who can say, "But God, I'm sure, doesn't really want me to have it." No, He is making it abundantly clear that He wants everyone to have it. He wants you to have it. No one can possibly ever say, "I know for a fact that I'm disqualified." If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of the living God, God desperately wants you to have wisdom. And so if God loves to give it, then how is it obtained? Well, it is obtained when we desire it and when we ask for it. Wisdom is obtained when we desire it and when we ask for it. Let me see if I can illustrate that with a biblical story. After King David's death, his son Solomon inherited the kingdom of Israel. Solomon was humbled and he was terrified by the magnitude of his task. God came to Solomon one night in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7 and says this, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Think for a moment. What would you do if right now God said to you, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you"? Would you say, "God, get me out of debt. God, give me a better job. God, give me better health. Give me better relationships"? I want you to hear what Solomon's response was. He asked for one thing, only one thing he asked for, and that was wisdom. Let's look together at 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Remember now, verse 7, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Here's Solomon's response. "Solomon answered God, You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will ever have. I want you to notice something that happened in Solomon's heart, and I believe with all of my heart, it's where God is trying to bring every one of us today. Solomon realized that there was something he couldn't do. He realized that he was incapable of this task that God had given him to do. And because of that, he cried out, God, help me. The reason why you and I are not given wisdom is because we think we've got this. The reason why we're not given wisdom and the reason why we don't really want it is because we don't even think we need it. We think that we are perfectly capable of mastering our relationships. We think that we're perfectly capable of living this life the way we should live it. We feel strong. We feel able. We feel capable. But what God is leading us to understand is what Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. And when you and I get to the point of understanding that we can't do anything without the power of God, without the blessing of God, without the help of God, then we will never get to the point of wanting this thing that is the most important thing that we could possibly obtain, and therefore we will never ask God for this thing that is the most important thing that we could possibly ever obtain. We're not dependent on God. Well, you're not called to be a king of a nation. But guess what? We face challenges and situations where we simply don't know what to do. A father has three little children pulling at his pants, and he senses the importance of being a good father, and he feels in his heart, God, I need wisdom. A senior saint is trying to navigate through life and understand how to live life, maybe now without her spouse, maybe now with health concerns that they've never had to face before, maybe now with memory issues that they've never had to deal with before. And it's scary. And they don't quite know how to handle it. What they need is wisdom. The middle-aged couple who is beginning to catch a glimpse of those retirement years, and they realize that they have not adequately prepared, and they're beginning to get afraid, and they're trying to make decisions now that will enable them to be ready when that day comes. What they desperately need is wisdom. Ultimately, the answer to every single one of the issues that you and I face is God. And when you and I ask God for wisdom, we are acknowledging before him, Lord, unless you do this, it will not be done. I need you. I am desperate for you. And unless you do it, I can't do it. So here's another description for wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do in a given situation. When you trace chokmah through Proverbs, the word wisdom, you find over and over again that it's simply knowing what to do. Have you ever seen people that just know what to do? They have wisdom from God. So in this first message on wisdom, the point that I'm asking God to drive home to our hearts is wisdom is yours for the asking. May I say it one more time? Wisdom is yours for the asking. Here's the way God expressed that in James. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I want you to hear that from two other different translations. New Living Translation, James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. James 1:5 from the Message. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Wisdom is yours for the asking. You don't have to go and get more education. You don't have to go back to school to know what to do. God can give you wisdom today if you will simply acknowledge that you need it and then simply ask him for it. That means that money is no issue. If you have no money, you are still qualified to have this wonderful quality of wisdom. That means that time is no issue. If you don't have a lot of time to go back to school, that's no issue. Because God, today, this moment, right now, can give you wisdom. I wish we could understand how our colleges and universities have devolved through the years. Listen to this description of the rules and precepts written by Harvard and adopted by them in 1646. There was a second rule that every student pledged to live by. Here it was, rule number 2. Seeing the Lord giveth wisdom, everyone shall seriously by prayer in secret seek wisdom of him. And so the president and the administrators and all of the thinkers at Harvard said, you know, wisdom is more than the accumulation of facts. It is more than stuffing your head with knowledge. It is one thing to know, and it's another thing to be able to apply what you know to every situation that comes across your path. And so what we are encouraging our students to do, yes, we want to fill their brains with facts. We want them to know everything they can know. We want to put them on a journey for learning that will last them a lifetime. But ultimately, we believe, as the president of Harvard and administrators of this college, that without wisdom, they will never succeed. Let me close with this. There's a story of a very proud man who came to Socrates asking for wisdom. In his day, Socrates was known as one of the most brilliant philosophers alive. What you may not know about Socrates is that he was a formidable man with very, very notable muscles. This man came to him and he said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for wisdom and knowledge." Well, immediately, Socrates recognized him as a pompous numbskull. And so Socrates led the young man through the streets, down to the ocean, chest deep into the water. And he asked the young man, "What do you want?" "Wisdom, O wise Socrates," said the young man with a smile. So Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and he pushed him under the water. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up and he asked him, "What do you want?" "Wisdom," the young man sputtered. "Oh, great and wise Socrates." Socrates again put him under the water, this time for 40 seconds, and then Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want?" Breathing heavy, heaving breaths, the young man wheezed, "Air. I need air." And Socrates said, "When you want wisdom as much as you wanted air, then you will get wisdom." And that's in essence what Solomon says. The reason we don't have it is because we don't even think we need it. But at the moment we feel we need it, we simply ask for it. And it is in the heart of our Father to give it. Let's stand together for the invitation. Well, this morning, you know, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know that many of us, all of us, have challenges. I hope that from the Word this morning, the Lord showed you that it would just be wonderful for you to have wisdom. I want to give you the opportunity over the next couple of moments. If there is something that you need wisdom about, I want to give you the opportunity to maybe come and kneel here at the front and just say, "Lord, would you give me wisdom? I see now that it is in your heart to give it. I know that you want me to have it, and I want to ask for it right now." I want to give you the opportunity just to slip out and come and kneel here before the Lord. If you feel led, you may want to just pray right where you are. But if you feel led, I want to give you the opportunity. God, give me wisdom. There's time for you to come. We're in no hurry. If there's something you want to pray about, Lord, give me wisdom. Just come and ask God. Dear Father, thank you so much for revealing to us your heart. You want to give us strength when we're weak. You want to give us wisdom when we don't know what to do. But Father, we're so stubborn. And we think we can do it on our own. And you are inviting everyone to come and sit at your feet and to gain wisdom. And so I pray that we would have hearts that would be dependent upon you, realizing that we don't know it all, that we know very little. And I just pray that you would give us, as your people, as your children, wisdom, skill to live this life in a way that blesses others and pleases you. The ability to navigate life, seeing it through your eyes, from your vantage point, from your frame of reference. Please, Father, give me wisdom, I pray. Give my brothers and sisters here who have knelt before you wisdom in the situations they face. Give my brothers and sisters who are standing wisdom every step of the way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.